designed for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. What's happening there, Drewsker?
Not much. About you?
You know, feeling good.
Are you?
Looking good. Going to bed at 3 in the morning, you know. I'm all over the map. I gotta get a schedule.
I went to bed at 12:30, got up at 3:30.
No!
Nice. Good time. Then I got some more sleep later in the day, though.
So, really?
Yeah, much to my amazement.
What'd you do? Paula Zahn show?
Yeah. How'd you know that?
You told me that yesterday.
Oh, right. That's what I did.
Is her last name Zahn?
Z-A-H-N.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't know if her name is Paul Azan.
Yeah, yeah.
Or whatever the hell.
Paula Zahn.
Right. All right. How'd that go?
Good. Fine. Good times.
A little CNN action?
Yeah.
What did you talk about?
Alcohol and heart disease.
Yeah, yes. Turns out drinking's good.
Right.
I drank an entire bottle of red wine yesterday in celebration of that news.
I get so frustrated with the press. They want
to
report headlines in, you know, these studies ask these really specific questions. Do people that drink different kinds of alcohol have less heart attacks? Not do they live longer? Do they have heart disease? Nothing. And then the press, you know, runs the headlines. Oh, drinking's good for your heart. Should drink more.
Right.
That's just so a million miles from those studies.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But to be fair to me, when I hear the headline, alcohol kills, I hear, drink more. It's good for you. What should you be? Women shouldn't be worried about heart attacks, should they? I mean, as a woman, what are you worried about? Give me the top two.
Breast cancer.
Is that one? Is that number
That's
one
number
as
one.
A woman? That's the number one killer of females?
I don't know.
I don't think it's number
killer,
one.
Killer, 30% of women.
What kills women, number one?
Young women or older women? See what I'm saying? Older women, heart disease.
Older women, heart
Younger
disease.
Younger women, breast cancer.
Older women... Women expire ultimately because of heart disease.
Well,
just so like men?
So the death certificates say. You know, when you get older, you sort of heart
disease. Everything just goes, right?
You get a stroke, you get a pneumonia.
But we're talking 80 plus. But guys, what's their number one thing? Heart disease?
Heart
attack?
Yeah.
Heart disease or
just
attack?
I don't know the data off the top of my head. Probably heart disease.
So if there's something that goes after the number one... thing. Now, alcohol doesn't go after heart disease. It goes after heart attacks,
right?
Okay.
And the people, for all we know, the people that have the heart attacks live longer in those studies. We don't know. It just looked at heart attacks, period.
Right.
So.
There. Let's get to the phones and speak to Shannon. 17. Shannon?
Yes.
What's up?
I was just wondering, if after a guy comes, does that mean that they're, like, done for the night?
You're 17. How old's the guy?
For me, it's the week, but, yeah, it could be the night.
Adam's in his late 30s. Yeah, most 18-year-olds,
I'm
though.
Done for the month.
He's 17.
Yeah, 17-year-olds should be good 30 minutes.
We were having sex, and it was just, like, a few minutes, you know, and we were going at it and everything, and then he was like, oh, I already came. I haven't had sex for a long time. I already came, and then he was like, then we were like done. And I was like, that was nice.
And then what happened?
Like, then I was like, fine. And so I just fell asleep. I was finished. I didn't want to even deal with it.
Right.
Well, if you get angry with the guys, he's not going to get it up again. That you can be sure of.
Oh, I just didn't say anything. I was like, okay. And then I just.
Well, don't say just okay. Just say, hey, come on, let's do it again.
Well, give the guy a little break. Then what did he do?
She went to sleep.
And he just went to sleep too, or where was he?
Yeah, he just curled up next to me and went to sleep, and I wasn't really sure if that was like the case or not, and so I didn't want to like ask him because he was like, "No, I can't get it up."
How old is he?
17.
What? Oh, okay, hold on.
Very angry.
Hey, sassy. Be bitching to me. I asked how old you were, and you were 17, and now I'm asking how old he is. You know, it doesn't make him your exact age.
She said 17.
No way.
Yeah.
No way.
Yes.
I did, because he said Adam's 30, and I said, well, he's 17.
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't ask her.
Well,
all right.
Okay,
I'm still wrong,
anyway.
But not as wrong as Drew would like to make me. Drew's trying to gaslight, so make him insane. I asked her how old.
No, I did. I asked, and then she didn't answer me, and then I said something about you, and then she said, oh, he's 17.
Yeah.
That's what happened. Roll it back, Anderson. Roll it back. Roll it back.
Here's how we know I'm wrong. Anderson is rolling it back. If I was right, Anderson would be like, yeah, I didn't have tape on that. But we know I'm wrong now because Anderson's making a move for the computer.
He's rushing, running to the computer. Gleefully heading for the computer.
I thought I said for me it's a month I got to wait. And you went, well, Adam's 38.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that what it was?
I asked the age. I did.
Okay.
We're going to hear it?
All right. Well, let's keep going with it.
Right.
Let's keep going with it. And then, Shannon, I apologize then
if that's
what you said. But now, here's the thing. First off, how are you two sleeping over?
Who's, 17.
Whose parents are where?
They were there.
Oh. And they're all right with it?
It was on New Year's.
His parents?
Yeah. We were just...
Have you been boyfriend and girlfriend for a long time?
No. It's just kind of a fling thing.
What about your parents? They're cool with you sleeping over at the guy's house?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Your dad around?
Yeah.
He knows about this?
They don't know that I have sex and stuff,
You're 17, you're sleeping over at the guy's house.
I know.
That's a translation that means sex.
But, like, my mom, she trusts me and everything, and she's put me on the pill and stuff, and she's, just be smart about it if you ever do make the decision.
All right. Well, look, are you into this guy? You just call him a fling.
Yeah, I am, but we weren't really set into each other or anything, and it was kind of like, we'd been drinking that night and stuff.
Okay, well, he'd been drinking.
You need to go twice with this guy.
Yeah.
And he needs to do a lot of oral sex.
All right. Anderson, you got her since he was 17 to me.
Mm-hmm. Do I have her saying that? I'm not sure exactly what the question is.
Do we have me asking her?
Yes, we do.
All right, do we have her answering? All right, here it is.
Actually, twice.
Oh, Jesus. My mind's all over the place.
Oh,
sorry, go ahead.
You're 17. How old's the guy?
For me, it's the week, but, yeah, it could be the
Adam's
night.
Adam's in his late 30s. Yeah, most 18-year-olds,
I'm
though.
Done for the month.
He's 17.
Yeah, 17-year-olds should be.
All right, but to be fair to me, her answer came quite a bit after
I asked. We went on a sidebar with you.
Right. I didn't think we got an answer to it. All right.
But we did.
Yes. Peter?
Yeah?
You're 14?
Uh-huh.
What's up there, buckaroo?
Yeah.
Are you really 14?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. There's a handful of 14-year-olds that sound like this guy.
Yeah, there are.
What's up, buddy boy?
I can breathe air through my butt and then, fart really, really loud.
Well, you called the right place.
Yeah.
Because if you'd called, the homework hotline or something like that, this skill would be frowned upon.
Mm-hmm.
But not here. It's embraced.
At least go unappreciated.
Yes. All right. I would like to hear the air going in as well as the air coming out.
Right now?
No, let's say this time next week.
Okay.
I'd like to hear it now.
Sure. It might take... Hold on.
Okay.
Okay. Oh. You can't really hear it coming in, but you can definitely hear it coming out.
I'd like to try to hear it coming in.
Okay, well, it's already in.
Okay, well, let's hear it come out then.
Okay, sure. You like that?
Yeah, but this time I'd like to hear it going in.
That's just a whoopee cushion.
Okay, wait. Yeah. I swear it's not. Most of my friends have heard me.
Okay.
Okay, hold on.
Most of his friends have heard it. Well, then you know it's true.
Oh, that was going in.
You see, I always know it's that because it's sort of sporadic. You know what I mean? There's a couple stages to it.
I understand. It's not that one.
Yeah, like when you do the fart thing, you just kind of go.
Yeah.
But this always one always goes. There's always some weird sporadic spasm, secondary spasm of gas at the end. Peter.
Yeah?
You must be quite a hit with the ladies.
Oh, yeah, I am.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They dig you, right?
They do. All of them.
Well, my friend, you've been touched by the hand of God. You must... Let me explain something, Peter.
Mm-hmm.
You're special. And with that comes...
That's what my teachers tell me.
Yeah. With that comes a responsibility, you understand?
Mm-hmm.
You cannot abuse your power.
Yeah.
All right, my child?
It must be used for good.
It must be used for good.
Okay. Drew, is there any, medical explanation? or anything
like
that?
How you guys do it. No, I've never actually witnessed this sort of in person, so I'm not sure what you guys are doing.
Yeah, I know, like, one other person who can do it.
Yeah, we've heard this before. It's been a couple of years, though, since we've had a performance, so has it?
Give me one more, Pete. Okay.
Hold on.
For the road, all right, buddy?
This one's for... Hold on.
All right. Yeah, that's for its first buddy.
Hold on.
Suddenly it's okay to use names.
See, here's how you know it's real, too, Drew.
Why?
You wouldn't get two or three hold-ons. You know what I mean? Like, you go, give me another one. The guy go, yeah, all right.
Right? Yeah, they're always going, hold on. Okay.
You're just, like, shifting. The phone goes down there. Nothing's happening. The stars haven't aligned.
It happens a little
phones
too
come
quick,
back.
You know how that part of your body doesn't respond to skeletal muscle command? It's not like moving your arm.
Yeah.
It's like when you and Ray used to fire water out of your butts.
Mm-hmm.
You'd start, and then it would sort of be in its own time frame.
Yeah. If you hang on to it too long, you lose the ability to control it.
I see.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. You know, we've suddenly gained some popularity in the 13, 14-year-old. I was attacked at my kid's school by a bunch of 13-year-olds.
Really?
Yeah, it was a little bit weird. They go, we learned today how to put condoms on a cucumber. I said, that must have been uncomfortable. That must have been fun.
At school, that's what they learned?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Donovan?
Yeah.
You're 16?
Yep.
What's up, buddy?
My girlfriend has recently started pushing me away because on Monday she went in the doctors and they did some tests on her, and she has some brain thing going on with her where she has like imbalance in chemicals in her brain.
Uh-huh.
And she thinks it's because she's been on cocaine for like 3 years now.
Oh, boy, how old is she?
She's 16 also. She's been doing it since the end of seventh grade.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Hmm. But I actually talked her out of, like, stopping. I talked her into, like, stopping it about 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so, she's not going to be able to just stop.
Well, she's going through a rehab clinic here locally.
Good.
And she's getting help through that. She's been off for 20 days now. So.
Well, let her be. If you want to participate, maybe go to some codependency meetings or something. But she needs to focus on her recovery because this is a life-threatening problem.
What do you mean she's pushing you away?
She's like, I don't know. She's refusing to like come near me, and she's like, she doesn't like talking.
What'd she say?
She ignores me, and she'll talk to me, but she won't talk about that because. And she's real closed up about it to, like, everybody.
About her program?
No, about, like, everything, like, her entire life, because there's been a whole bunch of crap that's happened to her.
All right, well.
Like, she was abused when she was a kid and everything else.
All right, well, that's fine. Let her deal with it in her own time, in her own way.
Well, I'm just afraid she's going to hurt herself because, like, me and...
Hey, Donovan, you're 16. She's got a whole team of professionals following her now. If she says something that really is of a concern, report it to the team. But just make sure she's following their direction. That's all you need to do. Just make sure she's doing what they tell her to do.
Hey, Donovan?
Yeah?
This may be the end of you two.
I'm thinking that, too.
And you know what, Donovan? I know you want to get in. You feel like you want to fight for her.
Fix her.
But she's got to fight for herself right now.
Well, really, what he wants to do is keep her sick. He isn't really...
Yeah, at this point, I don't even care if the relationship lasts. I just want to make sure she's safe.
Yeah, well, she's being taken care of. She's in good hands.
Just make sure she's following directions.
You need to take care of... Donovan needs to take care of Adam.
Donovan,
that goes for all of you.
Donovan needs to make sure he doesn't get another relationship like this, take care of another.
That's what Donovan's got to do. And listen, ultimately, this girl is a project that is too big for you.
Yeah.
I mean, really, you know, I know I make all my horrible car analogies, but this is a 16-year-old boy. You would love to get yourself like a 1960s Jag with all the spoked wheels and knockoffs on the rims.
Jaguar.
You want Austin Powers car, but the reality is that'd be about the cruelest joke anyone could ever play on you. Yeah. You don't have the money to fix it. You don't have the tools.
No, you wouldn't drive it in the driveway.
You just couldn't handle it. And it would be what you wanted, though, more than the Festiva. How high is Ford with their Fiestas and their Festivas? You're naming cars after taco salads. And so why don't you just break down and name one of your cars Taco Salad? It couldn't sound any cheaper. Stay away from the Mexican names with the cars. There's always trouble. Granada. Yeah, El Camino wasn't bad. All right, because here's the thing. This is a handful for all you 16, 17-year-old guys who are listening, who are dating women who are abused and they're strung out and they're hooked on stuff and they're acting out and they're cutting on themselves. It sounds great, but you're in way over your head. Just find yourself some nice, boring chick who wasn't abused and let the abused ones get their help. Thank you. What'd you belch up there, Drew?
Little Gorgonzola.
Nice. Blair?
Hey.
Hey, Blair.
Hey, you're 16. What's up?
Okay, well, I've had this girlfriend for the past 5 months, and...
Girlfriend?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, I found out from friends that she had herpes, but she never told me, and...
She has herpes.
Yeah, that she has herpes, and I'm not sure if I can get it, because I finally brought it up to her, like, 3 months into the relationship, and she was like, oh, yeah, well, I was gonna tell you, but... blah, blah, blah. So she said that she can only give it to me if she's having her outbreaks.
This is your girlfriend?
Yeah.
You're having sex with her?
Yeah.
So she's
no, like, I haven't ever touched her, cooch. You know what, because I've been too scared.
Well, that's the only way she's going to give it to you is if you touch her vagina.
And I can't get it any other way?
No, not unless she has the rash somewhere
else. Is that the kind of herpes she has?
What?
Where is the herpes? Where is it?
On her vagina.
Okay, well, you have to touch the sores to get it.
Because I
touch the region anyway.
Like, I've seen it before, and there's, like, no... Like, is there any way that I, like, cannot get it if she just is not on her outbreak?
Yeah, sometimes, but it's hard to tell when they're contagious. Well, you're still at risk, and it's going to go to your mouth, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's where it'd be transmitted.
Maybe. Are you, or to the strap, are you a lesbian there, Blair?
I don't know. Like, I'm really confused.
Oh, this is not a romantic relationship.
Well, it is.
It is.
Like, I really like her a lot. Like, I think I love her, but I mean, like, I really don't know. I'm only 16.
Yeah, that's a good answer. What happened to you? Anything weird?
Not that I know of.
Your dad didn't freak you out?
No.
You love him?
Mm-mm.
No?
No.
You don't love your dad?
Oh, I thought you said something else. Yeah, I love him. He's kind of a jerk, but whatever.
What did he do?
Nothing. He's just really strict.
Mm-hmm. All right. Religious? Is he religious?
No, but he wants me to be.
Oh, well, you'll show him.
Yeah.
All right. So you only with women now? This one girl? You don't have any boys?
No, I actually dumped a boy for this girl.
Okay.
But...
You're in the 10th grade, huh?
11th.
Okay.
And she might be exposing you to herpes without even telling you, huh?
Well...
Maybe she was preparing to tell you before you touched that area.
Wait, how did Blair find out?
Someone told her, she brought it up, and she said she was going to tell her.
Yeah, my close friends told me that she got it, because...
All right.
Well, here's the deal with herpes. You can't tell when you're contagious. If you have an outbreak, you're definitely contagious. If you don't have an outbreak, you can still be transmissible.
But it's less.
It's less.
Does she do stuff to you?
Yeah.
Did she give you oral sex?
Yeah.
Is that good?
Yeah.
Well, you're a tough nut to crack, Blair.
What do you mean?
You don't like it that much?
No, I do. I don't know. I'm just, like, I'm really prude, and I feel like I think I was, like, raped when I was little, and I just don't know about it or something. There's just something wrong.
Maybe you're just getting into stuff too early. Maybe you're just not ready for it.
But I'm 16. How can all these other girls be, like, having sex when they're, like, 12? And I'm, like...
Yeah, though they were sexually abused.
That's when they're getting raped.
Yeah, that's the irony of all this. Maybe you're normal and you're trying to act like people who have problems.
Yeah, because...
Why don't you take it easy? Just slow down a little bit. Why not, Blair? Why not?
What's up with your chicks? Yeah. What's up with women?
I mean, guys have sex because they have to. Oh, they're driven.
Easy partner.
No, but
easy.
I mean, 7-year-old males are driven like a, you know...
Yeah, well, they walk around with, you know, boners all through their homeroom class. And
hey, you're laughing. That's all they think about. That's all they think about.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah,
it is.
And that's it. And that's why they have sex. So for you to go, oh, I better do this because everybody else is doing it, what the hell? No. Come on.
It's so ironic. It's like teenage boys need sex in a sort of way.
Biblical.
I mean, they're compelled.
Yeah.
They're compelled. Wait a minute. They're compelled. Oh,
no reverb.
My reverb doesn't work. I used it once in 8 years. I thought it worked like 10 minutes ago. Oh, I got to plug into this jack. Right?
Right, wrong jack.
Oh, let me try that again. They're compelled. Damn reverb. Reverb. Okay, here's the thing. And whereas women are sort of, they could take it or leave it. Some like it more than others.
Yeah.
It's there for the taking. You know what it really reminds me of? It reminds me of my work.
You don't want to work. Everyone else is excited about it.
That's true, but yeah. that's not the example I was going to use. There's food everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Everywhere.
Right.
Everywhere. Everywhere.
Yes, yes, I know. I've been on those sets.
Jimmy's office is filled with, like, raisinettes and fresh fruit and everything.
Everywhere.
Baskets everywhere. Daniel's office filled with food everywhere. Then the kitchen. Then you go into the kitchen. It's filled with food.
Then there's somebody down there cooking stuff, and then there's lunch.
It's nonstop just food everywhere.
Yeah.
And I'm not even hungry anymore, but I am not going to pass that bowl of miniature Mr. Good bars for a 15th time without dipping into it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not hungry.
Yeah.
I'm not compelled to eat. I'm not hungry. I'm just, it's all around me. What am I going to do? So it's like, I'll eat a few of these.
You're like a chick.
This is what chicks are with sex.
Yeah.
And what the dudes are is like what I was when I was swinging a hammer, which was, somebody dropped a raisin, and everyone would dive on it and wrestle. Yeah. It was great.
Good times.
All right. Let's take ourselves a little break. When we come back, we'll speak to Grace. 17 wants to know if a girl can get pregnant if she's on her period. We'll tell her and you after this. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Yeah. Let me hit that reverb switch again. Hey, guys and gals out there, Radio Live!
Nice. Westwood One.
All right. Now, I think I got to plug my mic into that.
Yeah, that's
chair.
What you got to do. Go ahead, plug away.
All right. You ready, Drew?
Anderson, are you really wanting me to do this?
You'll see why I never plug it because of the.
Yeah, I know. Well, guess what? Now, the buzz is over here on this one.
No, I hear the buzz.
The buzz is on this one, too. It's bad.
Hey! I'm going to do the rest of the show in reverb, Drew.
No, sir.
Grace, you're 17. You're on line 6.
Oh, you hung up on 5.
Oh, screw 5. Grace?
Yeah?
What's up?
Nothing. I was wondering if a girl can become pregnant while she's on her period.
Girls' vaginas like a sports car. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah, she can, Grace. It's possible.
Okay.
It's not likely, but it's possible.
It's possible.
What's the percentage of it happening?
22%.
Did you have unprotected sexual intercourse?
Yeah, I did.
When?
Drew, you're getting in on my reverb.
I can hear that.
Stop it.
I don't like it. When?
About 3 days after I started my period.
3 days.
No, I understand. Relative to this moment, when did that happen, the intercourse?
The 28th of December.
All right, so a while ago. Because why didn't you get the morning after pill?
I don't know. I didn't.
That would have been the smart thing to do.
Yeah.
And really, you should do that whenever in the cycle you have an unprotected...
Naivete!
You're amusing yourself.
Yes!
No, but you're probably... Nothing you can do at this point anyway, Grace. You're probably okay. And, get a pregnancy test in 2 weeks and just be sure, but you should be fine.
Hey.
Hmm.
Can I get some tape, put it on there, we do the entire lightning round and reverb?
Yeah.
Because I know you're way too lazy to hold it.
I don't think we need tape.
How dare you, Anderson.
I think I can just wedge something and let's see what it sounds like. Blah, 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 blah. Drop trap.
Oh, we're all going to be in such hell.
All right. Tonight we do a special reverb version of the lightning round.
Great.
We got to remember to do that, Drew.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'll be sure to remember. Good times.
Let's speak to Dan, who's 22. Dan?
Yeah.
What's up?
I'm 22, and I've never been able to maintain an erection with a woman. I can do it when I masturbate, and I'm seeing a therapist, but my question is it possible for it to be physical? I need medication.
Well, medication would help it. Certainly things like Viagra are real good at helping people sustain an erection. Do you get real...
Even at this young an age, that's possible?
It's possible. Do you get real anxious and nervous when you're with a woman?
No, I don't, and that's why it's very frustrating.
Do you have any medical problems?
No, not that I know of.
You want medication?
No.
Have you been evaluated from a medical standpoint?
No, I haven't yet.
All right, that would be a reasonable thing to do. But the fact that you're able to maintain erection and masturbate normally suggests that it probably is a psychological problem, right? Cause
that's what I thought, but I wanted to ask you if it's always possible.
It's possible there's a medical component to this, and it's always important to get that evaluated.
Yeah.
What kind of a doctor? Do I just go to my regular doctor?
Generalist. No, any doctor can do this for you.
Yeah, okay. But it's probably not because everything's hooked up and it works.
It works when it's not confronted by a female, though, right?
Exactly.
How often are you beating off?
A lot.
Well, maybe that's the problem. Maybe
no, because I've tried, you know, stopping to see if then it'll work, and it doesn't.
What, do you have a girl?
Yeah, I have a girlfriend.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
And you cannot maintain an erection with her ever?
Not to the point of ejaculation, no.
So you are able to penetrate, and then you lose the erection after a while?
Exactly.
How long before you lose the erection?
Sometimes... pretty quick, sometimes not so quick, but quick enough for it to be frustrating.
How many minutes on average?
How many? Oh, I would estimate about 6-7 minutes. I'm really not sure.
Okay,
all right. 2-3.
Yeah.
Drew has difficulty comprehending this because he's a man of supreme passion.
Supreme.
You understand? Okay, but now what about oral sex?
At that, that doesn't work for me either.
No erection with the oral sex?
It may get erect for a very short time, but oral sex is probably even less.
No.
But you're telling me you don't get anxious. You're not aware of any symptoms, any feelings that you're having.
I sometimes may experience a little bit of physical kind of like tensing anxiety, but not too much. I mean, I'm excited about sex. I'm ready. It's not anything like I'm nervous about the experience at all.
Gay?
I'm sorry?
Are you gay?
No, I'm not gay.
All right. Maybe your penis is. you ever catch it sniffing other guys' asses?
No, I've never been even remotely attracted to
them. Oh, okay. Because one time I took my penis to the park.
Oh, well, that must have been a disaster.
Well,
all the other penises are like,
get it some exercise, let it run off some of that
dig
ball out, weight.
Dig
you know?
Out for some gophers. Try to dig down those holes.
You know, this is when I was living in an apartment.
Yeah.
And I didn't like the idea of keeping my penis, even though it was a small penis, cooped up in the apartment the whole time. You know what I'm saying?
Well, it wasn't an indoor penis. What are you going to do?
It wasn't. No, clearly
was small,
it wasn't.
But not indoor penis.
It was not raised as an indoor penis.
I understand.
On the other hand, you know, now that I live up in the hills, I don't want to let it out, especially at night, because there's coyotes.
Well, you also get all those cattails in there and stuff. He gets caught in it.
It's not so much about that and, you know, tracking semen onto the carpet and that kind of stuff, but it's more about, like, I've had some friends that had their penises eaten off by coyotes. You know, they didn't come... They come in at night. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's bad time.
You got the problem up at your place, too,
Drew. We have bobcats.
Yeah, bobcats. Bobcat penis is no match, even uncircumcised, no match for a bobcat.
You know, sometimes you can sort of decoy with the free puce. Just take that and run.
The foreskin heads that way, the penis goes that way, the bobcat's got to make a decision. Yeah. Well, anyway, I took my penis to the park.
Oh, yeah?
And, like I said, I was trying to sort of tire it out so when I got home, I could get some rest. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Nothing worse than when the penis is up and you're trying to get some sleep. And
it wakes you up to go in the morning and stuff. You take it out. It's an outdoor penis. What are you going
to
do?
And I went and got a drink of water. Yeah.
Well, I was going to just finish up with Dan.
The penis found it sniffing this dude's ass.
Oh, well, that must have been very disturbing.
It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing.
No, I mean, more than embarrassing. What do you care?
It's embarrassing. That's all I can say. I know.
Yeah.
All right.
So, Dan,
I had to put the penis down some months later.
That's a depressing story. Yeah.
Pretty painful.
Undoubtedly, you beat it for a while before.
Before I put it down. Yeah.
Dan, here's the deal. You're doing all the right stuff. You're seeing a therapist. Go have a thorough medical evaluation to make sure there's not some medical component, whether it's vascular, prostate, endocrinologic, something else that just has, you know, neurologic, something. But undoubtedly, it's emotional.
Mm. Laura. Laura.
I'm here.
You're 19.
Yep.
What's up?
I've been smoking weed probably for pretty close to 2 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like, I don't know, recently I just haven't really been enjoying it that much. And
that's what always happens with pot. It starts to wear off, start getting a little anxious, a little paranoid from it, depressed, start having difficulty completing tasks.
Like, I've noticed certain personality changes in me, like, mm-hmm. since I started.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just wondering, like, you know, if I were to stop, would my personality change back, or is it like...
What do you have, irritability and that sort of thing?
I find that I'm, like, really lazy now. I don't really have a sense of money management anymore.
Absolutely no doubt that it blocks, though, the initiation of motor activity. You have lots of good intentions, but they never get actualized in any certain sense of getting up and doing something. That's okay. What pot does. It blocks that mechanism neurologically. So, yeah, after about 6 months, things do tend to return to normal, but that first 6 months can be very treacherous, and you really do need to be monitored during that. I would suggest you get involved with MA. And marijuana addiction is not something you can just stop. You will go back. And it's kind of tough to stop, too. So go get involved with MA. What is that noise?
I don't know.
He stopped it.
Yeah, I did hear some conversation.
Yeah, some like
all right.
But Laura, take this seriously. You're at a sort of a critical crossroads in your life, trying to get stuff together here. You're young. Don't let this destroy you right now.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Good times. Let's take a break, Drew.
Yeah, I got to go pee. Ooh, early. Are you okay?
It's about time.
You must really been upset about that penis episode.
I had mixed feelings about putting it down.
10:36. Wow.
Well, don't we normally, aren't we supposed to go at 37?
38.
38 is when we're supposed to go?
Yeah, it's never happened, by the way.
Oh.
Have we ever gone at 38 ever? We have?
Twice.
Nice. Thank you.
Okay. No? I thought it was supposed to be 37. If we talk about it for another 51 seconds.
No, let's go.
All right, we'll be back. Hey, yo, Loveline, I'm Adam. That is Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Drop it, shroud. Drew.
Yeah.
I'm this close to drop and shroud. Yeah. Woo! Tell you what. Yeah. All right, we're ready to roll here, Drew?
Yeah, here we go. Ooh.
Nope.
Let's do it. Five. Let's go, guys.
Doink and
we're trying to
doink.
Get five. There we go.
Hey, hello?
Hello?
What's your name?
Evan.
What's up, Evan?
I like shows that call the people caller. What's happening, caller? All right.
Oh, boy. There we go. Marlene. Caller.
Caller? Caller? Caller, this is host.
What's up, Marlene?
Hey.
Hey.
Hi. I'm Ryan from Glendale. I was kind of wondering, like, where do you kind of draw that line where it's, like, not, like, just discipline anymore and it's kind of, like, child abuse?
Mm-hmm. It's not a hard and fast sort of...
Well, we'll decide who's doing what to you.
If they do it in a way where there's an intent to hurt, if they do it with an object, and if it's something that's done routinely, especially, that's abuse.
Okay. Yeah.
There's really no reason to hit a child. The reality is, There's absolutely no situation in which there aren't much better and more effective ways to discipline kids.
Yeah, tell me about it. Yeah, but, like, seriously, I don't know what to do anymore because I'm, like, 15, you know? Mm-hmm. I, like, tower over my mother, and, you know, she kind of gave me a smack, and I'm all...
Really?
Yeah, and, yeah. All right. I don't really know. It's, like...
Was she... she what? Mexican? What is she? Armenian? What is she?
Well,
she's got to have a race. She's got one of those smacking mom races.
Yeah, well, just for this, we're going to call it Mexican because all Hispanics are Mexican, so...
There's no cookies in my box.
Yeah. Where is she from?
We're Nicaraguan. We're Nicaraguan.
I used to work with some guys who were Nicaragua. They would always have trouble with that last part. They go, "Hey, man, I'm Nicaragua."
We're a great bunch, though.
Yeah, good bunch. The Nicaraguans, they don't like it when you confuse them with the Mexicans, and the Mexicans don't like it when you confuse them with the El Salvadorians. But us round eyes, us gringos, we don't know. We don't care. It's all the same.
Yeah, see, you know what? I miss their movement, and we have to just make it either all Puerto Rican or all Mexican.
Yeah, well, here's, you know what, Marlene, I'm glad you brought that up. Here's the way I'm going to do it. East of the Mississippi, Puerto Rican. West of the Mississippi, Mexican. That's it. I'll get away with all these South Americans and the Central Americans and the Nicaraguans and the Sandinistas and all. Yeah, let's lose all that
stuff.
Can
we do the same for the Asians?
It's yeah.
Confusing.
Chinaman. It's all Chinaman.
Yeah.
Okay.
What do we do about the Americans and Canadians?
They're fine. Just white. They're cracker.
American
just whitey.
Cheers? I don't know.
No. It's just that's just whitey. we don't need to make a distinction with them.
I personally don't ask around. Are you Canadian? So it's not an issue.
Yeah. You hate Canadians?
No. She doesn't ask around. She doesn't know.
I thought she said she hated Canadians.
No. Not an issue. She said.
And don't care enough to ask either.
Oh, I see.
All right. So anyway, you're Nicaraguan, and your mom, even though she's little, she's feisty.
Yeah.
It is. They got chili pepper in their blood, those people.
I suggest you put a limit on it. Tell her to just cut it, to make it very clear. Stop.
Because my dad, you know, he doesn't lay a finger on me. And then she gives my dad a guilt trip about, hey, it's your fault.
Yeah, of course.
Well, and then
tell her anything.
In the
look
culture.
And they call me the sympathizer. Look at you. And she gives my dad a guilt trip, and then I'm,
Why is Marlene so likable?
I like her, yeah. And see, in the Latin culture, the male... the father's not a disciplinarian. He's a sex partner. And the mother actually does the discipline.
I see.
This is what I've learned.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
I see. So more of the Marlene's.
Yep. And your dad is your boyfriend, and your mom is your prison guard.
Jail keeper, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's good.
All right. So you doing okay there, Spicy?
I guess. I don't know.
Marlene, if your mom will not stop, call Department of Social Services.
Yeah, but I feel like a retard. Like, yeah, my mom, get this. She smacked me.
That's not a retard. That's just fine. She smacked you. She won't stop.
What about getting your dad involved?
You know, my dad, coolest guy in the world. And kind of like, it's all like, his logic, it's all like, you know, your mom's insane. Leave her alone.
Yeah.
Well, that not bad. Yeah.
So, like, leave her alone that week.
Not bad logic on his part. However, obviously, she won't leave you alone. So, there's a problem.
You know the sound. Why don't you predict? When your mom whacks you, does she go, "Hey!"
I wish. It would be some comic relief.
Oh, really?
She kind of mouths off and talks about the revolution and how I don't know how hard it is.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I know.
It's
a wonderful, wonderful situation here.
Yeah, that'll be another 200 years to get that out of the generation.
What's your dad do?
Job?
Yeah.
This is going to be shocking, earth-shaking. I know what my dad does. He's a photo technician.
All right.
Great guy.
Yeah, you got to get your dad. Well, that's good because you'll be good with men.
Notice how sort of appealing she is because she likes her dad.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, she's got a nice interaction.
She's not angry.
With her. Yeah,
she likes men.
Yeah,
she likes her dad. She likes men. But although I'm, you know, I mean, my dad's kind of a puss. Kind of. That's kind of He's he's like a little more than kind of a puss.
Want to just say colossal and put it in reverb?
Yeah. I'm too lazy to grab this
lean
thing,
forward.
But I wonder about these dads. Is this sort of hang out? The moms are freaking on the kids.
Yeah, some girls would develop some very intense resentments against dad for not helping them, for not interfering.
What's up? I mean, and Drew, I don't know if you got this situation either on the home front, but this crap goes on over to my house. I lay the law down.
Mm-hmm.
I get up or lean forward and start poking people with the stick that I use to get their attention. I'm going to actually get up off the sofa. But I use my tension stick to get... there's no way I would let my wife start beating the crap out of my kids. And I'm sort of sitting there and kids coming to me going, Mom's beating the crap out of me. Mm-hmm. And I'm going, well, you know how she is. Just stay out of it. I just go in there and start yelling at her.
Yeah.
Doug?
Hey, you guys. How you doing?
What's happening, Doug?
Hey, not too much. Hey, man, I wish you guys around when I was a teenager.
Yeah.
Are you using a telephone or a microphone?
It's a regular telephone. I'm at my job right now.
Wow, you sound good.
Whoa.
You sound real good, buddy.
It's a telephone company.
Wow.
We got high-quality equipment around here.
No kidding.
Oh, my God. Let's move over there. Forget this Western One crap.
Are you calling from the telephone company?
Yeah.
Jeez, that's nice.
Hey, thank you.
Sweet. We could talk all night, buddy.
I don't think they're going to pay me for that, though.
Oh, okay. Marlene and Doug, we're styling.
What is your question?
Hey, I got a little test of your infinite wisdom there, Adam.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to test your car knowledge here.
All righty.
Shelby Daytona Coupe.
Mm-hmm.
Something uniquely special about that car. You know what it is?
Didn't we just see one the other day?
Nah.
No. Isn't that what we were mucking around with over at the car show?
No, I didn't see a Daytona Coupe
over
there.
What was that? There were the three Shelbys there.
Oh, that was a 427.
Yeah, the old Daytona Coupe.
Well, what's unique about it in terms of...
Historical.
Well, it came between the Cobras and the GT40s.
No, not that part. What did it do that made it such an American car?
Well, in terms of winning
it
things?
It was built.
Yeah, There you go, winning. What did it do?
First to win a GT40.
It was the only American car, the first American car to win, like, the sports car championship.
Close. World Manufacturing.
World Manufacturing Championship, yeah.
You're close, man. Good.
Yeah, well, it caught on fire at 24 hours of Le Mans. And
it was a wood car. It was all built off of wood, you know, with the aluminum body on there.
Yeah, it's a pretty hot car.
You caught on fire, Le Mans?
It caught on fire, yeah.
Yeah, they were only six of those built. I was just wondering about you're pretty darn knowledgeable, so.
Oh, thanks there, Doug. Yes, I do know a fair amount of those Shelby Daytonas. It's a nice car. You know the thing that's crazy about those race cars, and I know everyone has these sort of fantasies, go back in time kind of stuff, but they built like six of those cars. They've done this a lot of cars. And then they campaigned them in like, I don't know, 65 or 66 or something like that, maybe 64, 65. And then they only ran them for 1 year, and it won the manufacturer's championship, and then they got rid of them. And then so they had to sell them, you know? And you know, selling an old race car is like selling an old race horse, you know? Like, hey, it ain't much good a couple of years later. I mean, technology races on.
Right.
So they sell, they give them away, you know? They're like, I don't know, we'll take $4,500 or whatever. Now they're worth $4 million. And we're not talking about, you know, Napoleonic days.
Right.
We're just talking about, you know, later 60s.
Yeah, 40 years ago.
You could have got one of those cars in 1970 for $10,000.
Oof.
You know what I mean? Now it's $3
million.
It's crazy, right?
Yeah.
Melissa?
Yeah, hi.
You're 19?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Well, is Dr. Drew there?
I'm here.
Okay. Well, how should I start? I kind of have this problem. I wouldn't consider myself promiscuous, but kind of. Anyway, so I'm 19. I like to go out, have a good time. I consider myself or think I am attractive, but I develop these attachments really quickly to different guys, and they're not calling me back. And it's...
You having sex with these guys?
Yeah, and more than that, I become obsessed.
Oh, I thought she was going to say anal.
I seem to think that I'm in love, and I know it's, you know, psychological and sex is very emotional for women. I know that. But how can I, like, detach myself from the situation? I mean, I know I shouldn't.
Okay, hold on, Melissa. This is going to take more than a couple minutes. So we're going to take a little break here, all right?
All right.
And then we're going to get back to you. But this is an interesting topic, really.
Yeah. This will be a lesson given to all the young ladies of our program, even the ones from Nicaragua. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's the good doctor, Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Next week, Stephen Baldwin's going to be in here, and we're going to ask him about choking Kathy Griffin on the mole.
He crapped in the bed.
I didn't see, I'm guessing that was Stephen Baldwin. I didn't see that celebrity mole. Did you see that celebrity mole?
It was Wednesday, right?
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's a whole series, right?
Hey, we'll catch it next week. Yeah. No doubt about that. And Corey Feldman's going to come in here, who's on the show that I was watching tonight.
Which was?
Surreal House.
What is that?
It's WWWB.
Yeah.
They take all these, I think it's called Surreal House. Yeah. And they take all these actors who are sort of, semi-infamous or had a past and not much of a future. And they got, like, him and they got Emmanuel Lewis and MC Hammer and Gabrielle Cateris from 90210. And,
she's got kids.
She got kids, but she got to leave them for a few days and go over to the Surreal House.
All right.
And they put them all together. Vince Neil from Motley Crue. And put everyone together. And, have them go shopping and stuff. I don't know exactly what's going on with it yet. You know what, though? I figured out as I was watching it tonight, and I was enjoying it. If you take 7 or 8 people whose faces you sort of recognize,
you'll watch.
Oh, yeah, this guy was in that movie. Hey, that kid was Webster. Hey, that's Hammer Time guy. You take him, and you put him in a big, beautiful house, and you just kind of watch.
You'll watch, yeah. And what is that?
I don't know what that is. They're all, like, standing in the kitchen,
I think it's
and they're talking, and you're like, oh, hold on, I want to hear what Vince Neil has to say about the Yo Play.
It's very similar to why we watch celebrities that behave out of control, too. It's like we just like, it's like a freeway accident. We just stare.
It isn't even the celebrity part so much. I mean,
it's
really,
the familiarity.
If you took, like, 7 or 8 semi-attractive people and put them in under one roof and it was a beautiful house.
You'd watch?
Just kind of watch. Yeah. I don't know why, but the fact that you know these people from somewhere, and then it's kind of weird, too, because these people that are sort of punchlines to jokes now, like Emmanuel Lewis, you know, he's Webster, and he's, they're sort of reading his credits off at the beginning. The guy's got 3 People's Choice Awards. You know what I mean? Like, I'm making fun of Webster now, but I don't, you know, what am I going to, like, am I ever going to win a People's Choice Award? Like, 3?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's really, it's like some guy, this is why it's great to be an athlete. Because as an actor or entertainer, you can be MC Hammer.
Yeah.
You can sell 10 billion records and make $10 billion, and then 4 years later, we can make fun of you. But
what is that?
I know, but it's really, it's as if, you know, but if you're an athlete and you're the quarterback, you win a couple Super Bowls.
That's it.
All you do is slide that Super Bowl ring on and show up at the party.
You're like ISIS. It's a power.
Right.
Power Ranger.
Absolutely. Yeah. You can put on 700 pounds and start drinking Sterno and people would still bow at your feet.
But that's sort of a warrior thing, you know?
Yeah. I know, but it is really just amazing that most of these people, like I said, MC Hammer becomes sort of the butt of everyone's joke, and this guy had a record that sold 15 million copies or something. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's got to be worth something, doesn't it?
Interesting.
Melissa?
Yeah.
All right. So you have a problem where you get sexually active really easily, right?
Right.
And then once you do, you're super attached.
That's right.
And then you start obsessing and stalking and all that good stuff.
Right.
Well.
Exactly.
Yeah.
How fast are you sleeping with these dudes?
Well, I wouldn't say dudes, but yeah. Well,
gals?
I guess they are. But I don't know. You know, guys are dogs, as you know. Sorry. I don't mean to be disrespectful. But they will say anything to, you know, get that one thing, and then once
well,
they
but
do,
you, listen, screwball, how,
all the promises just go, you know.
Hold on a second. Here's what I like. Hey, Drew, ask me how fast I'm sleeping with these guys.
Yeah, how fast are you going to bed with these
well,
dudes?
Well, as you know, guys are dogs, and they'll say anything to get that one thing. And then when they get that one thing, all right, is that really the answer to this question that I've asked? Melissa?
Yeah, I think I'm crazy. And then, like, I'll give you a clear-cut example, okay? I recently hooked up with this guy, you know, we had sex, and then he said he would call me back. He never did, and then I left him, like, 12 messages on his answering machine. That's crazy, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And why do you do these hookups if you know they're not going to go anywhere, and you need them to go somewhere?
I don't know. I don't know. I think it's because, I don't know, I'm adopted, and...
Nope. How old were you when you were adopted?
Five.
Oh. What happened during those first 5 years?
In different foster homes.
Oh, my God.
Ew.
Well, of course, attachments are going to be very difficult.
I really don't have anyone, and so I have that attachment issue.
Well, it's not the attachment issue, it's the abandonment issue.
Is that what it is?
And you have bad boundaries, and so you get sucked in real quickly, and you fuse with someone, and then you can't unattach.
Right.
Everything is perceived as a reenactment of the original abandonment. And you make you set up all your relationships to reenact those traumas. So
it's like I choose the same.
I know you're doing it over
person.
And over. It's the trauma. You're just re-traumatizing yourself over and over again. And
I don't understand why I want to put myself through
that.
Well,
because the right side of your brain has been wired a certain way by those early experiences. And that's the way it is. You can try to choose to do something different, but the probability is with that kind of experience that part of your brain that is wired that way is going to sort of push you into these relationships that are abandoning. So, really, you got to look into some treatment. You've got to. And you have to have sort of a moratorium on relationships for a while.
Right.
Yeah, that's good. Don't look for guys to make you feel a certain way about yourself.
I mean, she's...
There's issues here. Yeah. Baby. You got to get some therapy. And number two, and for all you listening, not all guys are dogs. About 30% of guys are dogs. You just happen to hook up with those guys. Those are the guys. A lot of you ladies, as a matter of fact, coincidentally, the ones who claim all guys are dogs are not interested in the non-dog guys.
That's right.
I mean, let's face it.
Mm-hmm.
Guys are horny. I'm not saying they're not. But just sort of picture the guys at your work, guys you know, guys you're friends with. The majority of them are sort of normal guys, good guys,
mm-hmm.
would be happy to meet somebody that they're attracted to and commit to a relationship, treat women right.
Mm-hmm.
Women, not so interested in that dude.
Yeah.
And until you get interested in that dude, there's going to be trouble.
But again, that's what attraction is all about, is trying to solve those early traumas.
Right.
And so she looks for the abandoning guy. Those are what attract her, and then she's in the abandoned. Surprise.
All right. Scott's 30. Scott?
Yes.
Yeah. What's up?
I'm trying to determine whether or not I have a sex addiction or just a sex drive that's way over the top.
All right.
I especially recently, I've been spending a lot of time on the internet. I just have a really active sex drive, and it's starting to interfere, in a way, with my daily life because it's starting to consume me. The fact that I don't get enough, or I just don't get it, period.
Yeah, are you you in a relationship?
I am. I have been for almost 10 years.
Ooh, 10 years. You married?
No.
10 years but not married.
Correct.
She doesn't want to get married?
I'm same-sex relationship.
Gay.
Oh, gay.
Yes.
It doesn't want to get... No, he doesn't want to get married?
So are you in a monogamous relationship with him?
Yes.
Were you sexually abused growing up?
No.
Wow, so you're gay and you just, you're insatiable. And your partner does not want to engage in sex as much as you do?
Not nearly, no.
Not nearly. What is he good for?
Once every 2 months.
Ooh.
Dope.
Was he a sex addict at one time?
No.
You sure?
Positive.
Yeah, here's, it's,
once every 2 months.
It strikes me, hold on a second, Scott. You know what strikes me about the gays? Is we know from doing this show that, many folks that are gay were sort of pushed along in that direction through mm-hmm. some circumstances in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't make them not gay now. Mm-hmm. I know people get offended by that. But just like you can be violent through being beaten around as a kid,
yeah.
or just as you can be smart from having parents that are school teachers or inclined to play music or something, musically inclined, whatever it is, you can get pushed along sexually in different directions mm-hmm. as well, depending on these circumstances. And sometimes gay folks were pushed along in these directions.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you hook up, you might find a guy who's sort of hypersexual
mm-hmm.
and another guy who's closed down. And you may find this with lesbians. And it strikes me as potential trouble.
The trauma issues and its impact on sexuality, yeah.
Yeah.
You could
be at other opposite ends of the poles
right,
here.
Right.
So, Scott.
Yes.
Your boyfriend, does he have issues?
I know that he has self-esteem issues, not generated by me by any stretch of the imagination. But
yeah, but did he get monkeyed with when he was younger or something?
Not that I'm aware of, no.
So you're both just naturally gay.
You can say that.
Yeah. No domineering mom, huh?
Huh?
How's your mom? Domineering?
No.
All right. Well, this is biologically gay then,
born
Scott.
Gay. Born gay.
Born gay. Her life is to live gay. So that's why Scott sounds sort of normal, though he has an appetite. But if he's a 30-year-old guy who's with a partner who's...
Once every 2 months.
Once every 2 months, he's... got to blow that steam off via the internet.
Maybe really what you're craving is just a relationship, and this guy has not given you that.
No, we have a great emotional relationship, which is, I don't get laid.
What do you mean by a great emotional relationship? What does that mean?
We connect very well on an emotional and intellectual level. We have a great time when we're together. It's a very good relationship in many aspects.
What, you mean a peaceful relationship? How good can it be when somebody has some very intense needs that aren't even being attended to?
That's the only need that isn't, though.
Yeah, but
it's a pretty important one, though.
No, I understand that.
But isn't there some resentment on your part that this guy's sort of depriving you of this? I mean, you're in this 10-year relationship, and he's, six times a year kind of thing.
I don't know that I resent it, necessarily.
Why don't you?
Because I love him.
Yeah, but you can love someone and resent them for what they're doing.
You should. You should be very upset that you're being ignored.
I mean, doesn't it feel like you're being sort of shut out?
Sometimes, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that shouldn't feel good.
I mean, but I do attribute it to the fact that I know he has, for no reason at all.
But Scott, having
body image issues, and I know that's a big part of his problem.
I know, but Scott, having an intellectual answer to everything doesn't change your feelings. Denying your feelings with all these explanations up in your head, that doesn't change the feelings.
Mm-hmm.
I doubt you weren't sexually abused. You don't have the sort of recipe. There's that, we keep hearing that music and that voice going.
Yeah.
We haven't, you don't have the sort of history that sets up sexual abuse so much. You're not an addict. And you have a relationship that is emotionally sounds empty. And you have your guy that has these real needs that are genuine and intimate, and they're being completely ignored, and you're trying to explain them away. Like, well, I understand. That's going to come out in some way. And here's how it's coming out.
And him saying, I'm not going to engage in this intimacy with you is a statement.
Oh, yeah.
It's not just isolated to physicality.
I mean, yeah.
Okay. So, Scott, instead of making yourself the heavy for being sort of sexually compulsive, I would examine the relationship a little more closely and wonder if you need to be
for
an 11th year
with
this guy.
You should assert the need for mutuality. You should be able to say, hey, I need this in the relationship.
I need a BJ.
Whatever it is, he should be able to move in that direction at least.
I need some felching.
Did you just say that? Was that a tape?
That was me.
Will you put that on reel, please? Thank you.
I need I need mutuality. I need to be the cornhole-er and the cornhole-y. Okay?
Yeah.
All right. Dan?
Hey, what's going on?
You're 37. What's happening, brother?
Yeah, just grooving. How you doing, Adam?
I'm doing good. What's up?
My wife and I right here. This is my third wife. We've been married now about a year and a half. Mm-hmm. And we play, we get the toys. You know, we are a pretty sexual couple. Mm-hmm. But lately, about the last 6-7 months, and she's been secreting a white fluid that looks like a man's cum.
Mm-hmm. From the vagina or from?
From the vagina.
That's just a
dildo or something.
That's just a discharge.
A man will be just full of white cum. Mm-hmm.
That's just a discharge. She has a yeast infection.
Well, something left over from the pool boy.
Yeah, you know, at 37, you got to be able to keep those 20-year-olds still going.
Yeah.
How old is she?
She's 26.
Mm. 26, yeah. Dan, what do? Something with cars?
Me?
Yeah.
No, I'm actually a tattoo artist.
Oh, man.
Bikes with my motorcycles.
I love motorcycles.
There we go.
Yeah, I got wheels from you. All right. So, but you're an American motorcycle guy.
Always. I don't like those little Jap Ninja bikes.
Yeah. But you know, I got one of these. I got one of these big Harley, one of these big dogs.
Uh huh. The big dogs are nice out of Kansas.
Yeah, it's nice. It's, you know, it's like a 1700-1800 cc engine, and it's ridiculous motorcycle. It's obnoxious, yeah. But I don't know. I like those rice burners. The thing's too big. It's too heavy. The handlebars are way up in the air.
Yeah, it'd be like the cruise when you get to our age, Adam. You know, that you just cruise through life now. We've got all of our anxieties behind us now.
All right, so this is...
Beer. Would beers have... I mean, she drinks a couple of beers every night.
Dan, she has an infection. Get a gynecologist, let him treat it. It's not a big deal.
Is that all that is?
Yeah.
It's discharge?
Yeah. It's coming out because of the contractions and the orgasm, but that's sitting
it's up
there
in
if
there?
Infection comes out.
Is that always that? Do women, sometimes women have...
They can have a normal discharge. At different terms in the cycle, there can be a normal discharge. It can be pretty intense, too.
Different colors?
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, it's good times.
I need some felching.
Yeah.
Chris?
Yeah?
You 19?
Yeah.
What's up?
Oh, not too much. Just waiting to talk to you guys.
Great.
Here we are.
Okay. Recently, I've been having some, like, kind of kidney and kind of, like, it feels kind of, like, back towards the kidneys. And then I'm just wondering whether it's muscles or, and then also up towards, like the liver, kind of up towards rib cage and everything like that.
And your back?
Yeah. And in the front.
And the front. Why don't you see a doctor?
Why? I don't know. I just taken like a lot of protein. Not that it has something to do with that.
No.
What?
Are you lifting weights?
Yeah.
Maybe just hurt your. Just hurt your back.
No, it's not that. I've hurt my lower back, but.
Well, it's cancer.
What?
Well, what do you think it is? And you said you hurt your lower back. That could be it.
No, because I mean, like the pain is like more upper.
Chris, there's about 800 things this could be. Somebody needs to examine you, start a workup. I'm not going to go through a list of 800 possible diagnoses without even any clue which direction to go because we have no objective data. Go see a doctor and get this evaluated. It's probably nothing.
Drew.
Yeah.
You know when you were younger and you'd be running or jogging, you get that stitch in your side?
Yeah.
How come you don't get that stitch in your side when you're older?
I've wondered myself that. I don't know.
I'm glad you've wondered that, because I was wondering that.
Yeah. You get it from walking. You'd walk too far. All of a sudden,
there was something weird about, what is it like, age 12 to 19. You start jogging a little bit, and all of a sudden you get that stitch. Hey, what is that? That pinch right,
right
side.
Right side.
Or right side, whatever.
I still get it all the time.
You get it?
Yeah. Well, you take steroids, though.
Yeah, you're on the juice.
Do I take steroids? That's why? What are you talking about?
You're on the juice. You're eating hockey pucks.
Do I look like I'm on steroids? That's pretty cool.
No. Only your hair, really.
Dick.
Yeah, but you don't get that as an adult. You get everything else.
No, you're right.
Why not the stitch?
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it?
All right. Let's talk to... could that be, you know, I mean, think how dehydrated you were all the time back then.
You know, probably has something to do with the metabolic activity of the liver. There's probably a little.
No, okay.
Creating,
no.
Building proteins and stuff.
But think.
It's
think,
all being torn down when you're our age.
But think how you would never drink water.
No, on the contrary, I drank like a crazy water drinker when I was a kid.
Yeah, but okay, but look at it this way. When you were a kid.
Forget
I might
it.
Have That's to kick my dad in the nuts one more time. But when you were a kid, you would go to the beach. Let's say you're 13 years old or whatever. You'd go to the beach.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have any. I mean, like, you wouldn't bring anything. You'd bring a towel. Maybe bring a radio. You wouldn't have a cooler, would you?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm going to kill my parents. Like, God, am I going to kill them.
Oh, yeah.
What was in that cooler?
Liquids. Yeah. Good times. Anyway, back to Chris. I mean, Chris, it could be, you know, it could be a tumor or something, but it's probably musculoskeletal. It could be kidney stones. It could be gallbladder. I mean, it could be.
Who brought the cooler? Who brought the cooler when you went to the beach?
It's worse. We go to somebody's house at the beach.
And they bring a cooler out to the sand?
Yeah. Sorry.
Mata?
Hi.
Hey. You're 19. What's up?
Pretty traumatic experience tonight.
Yeah. What about me with no cooler? Beach.
Sorry about that.
Yeah.
And what happened with you?
I was doing homework at my school. I go to college, and it was not that late at night, maybe 8 o'clock. It was in a, like, you know, well-lit building, normal. There were a fair amount of people around, and, like, I just randomly, like, sat down at my table, and after a few minutes, he started talking to me, and when I looked up, he was masturbating under the table, and he stood up, and just it was really...
No one saw this?
There was a janitor, like, in the next room, and he said he didn't see him.
This was where she was doing her homework?
Yeah.
Library?
Yeah.
No, it was just one of the class buildings.
Was this person a student?
No, I don't think so. He was older than, like, students usually are and just kind of scruffy. I just didn't think anything of him when he sat down. I didn't even notice him.
How did you know he was masturbating?
Because I could see his hand moving, and then I figured out what he was doing, so I just left my stuff and got up and started walking away, and then he stood up and kind of followed me, and so I screamed and I ran to a classroom where I knew there would be people.
And what happened?
He left.
When he stood up and followed you, what was he doing?
He was wearing, like, he, like, pulled his short leg up so that you could see it.
Yeah.
And just walking after me.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, there are people out there that do this. It's
like,
a criminal behavior.
My issue is just that I'm feeling, like, really
embarrassed. Well, you feel violated.
And, yeah, and really angry. And, you know, my boyfriend was there, and so he took me, and we filed a report, but I feel like I should do something more, and I'm feeling really upset about it.
Where was your boyfriend?
He was in the classroom. He had a class. I was just waiting for him.
Oh, I see. And you were just nearby?
Yeah.
What more would you like to do?
Like, I know that I would recognize this person if I saw them again. I mean, I remember him quite clearly. And I just want to go and, like, look through the mugshots, but I think that's kind of silly and, like, obsessive.
Yeah.
Well, why? I don't know. What's wrong with looking through a few mugshots?
Well, the guy's sick, and he's gonna get caught in any event. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, well, I know that. I mean, I'm a big true crime fan, so I know that, like, this kind usually they don't turn into rapists because they're so cowardly, but it's just...
It's not that cowardly. They just do it. They get off on doing this.
On
and expose
making
them,
me
yeah.
feel upset
yeah.
with
yeah.
them.
It's not their bag. Yeah, listen, you shouldn't take any of this personally.
Well, I don't. It's just upsetting.
Yeah,
well,
and that's
it is.
Normal.
I
mean, you get a little post-traumatic stress reaction from this kind of thing.
Yeah.
You feel out of control and powerless, and you won't sleep right for a couple of days.
He's a tormented loser, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you should almost feel sorry for the guy.
If you see him again, you get the security right away. It's all.
Yeah. And tell, and, yeah.
That was the hardest part, because when the janitor said he didn't see it, I just thought, maybe I'm insane, you know, because they all looked at me like, really?
No.
10 feet away, and I was like...
No, and the guy took off, right?
Yeah.
No, this happens.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, but listen, he's just some old loser. You're young, you got a boyfriend.
But also realize
college,
for about a week, you're going to feel funny. You're going to have a little panic and anxiety, and mood's going to be up and down, and that's normal.
Yeah.
Okay, because I'm feeling really upset, and, like, I've been trying to sleep, and...
All right,
it's going to be hard to sleep for a couple of days. Yeah.
Right. Well, you shouldn't be too upset.
Were you ever traumatized in the past?
really, not in that way.
Because if you've had previous trauma, sometimes you can get post-traumatic stress reactions that are real intense, that are sort of reawakening old traumas from relatively...
I don't think so. I've had a pretty boring, happy life.
All right. No, you're going to be all right. Just try to relax. And don't get over-involved in this. It's going to take a few days to settle down. And if it does, you know, mental health services at your school.
Yeah. What? I always thought this was a victimless crime, this beating off in public. Lord knows I've had my brushes with it.
Doing it? Or with guys doing it at you?
I was on the...
receiving end?
The business end. Yeah.
Is that you were referring to the
penis
time
was attached to me, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you mean by receiving.
Yeah. I've gotten some off on the road.
I know.
I didn't want anyone to see, though.
I know. You weren't waiting until somebody drove up next to you and then...
Yeah, no. My thing was like, listen, I'm not going to be home for another 15, 20 minutes. What am I going to do? You know what I mean? I don't want anyone to see, but you know, I got business to attend to. You understand my dilemma, Drew, yes?
Oh, your wife must be so proud.
Yes.
Yeah.
The good doctor, Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Let's get back to the phones and speak to Melissa, who's 16. Melissa?
Hey.
Hey.
What's up?
What's up, girl?
Well, the couple that called in just a little bit ago, you said that, or they said that she had a discharge or something.
She had something on the toys that they inserted. Yeah. Some excessive stuff on it.
Yeah, it kind of looked like a guy's cum.
Yeah.
Well, I gotten that before, or like I do it happens sometimes, but like I know I don't have any infection or anything.
How do you know?
Well, because I've had one before.
You've had infections before?
Well, I've had a yeast infection.
Yeah, but there are other infections that can kind of come and go. And
but it's been like that for, I mean, I've gotten it for a while. I mean,
right.
Ever since like whenever I started masturbating.
This discharge.
Well, yeah, it's been like that. I mean, people have noticed it before, like guys when they've gone down on me, they're like, wow, but I've never had any complaints or anything.
What do you mean you have a bunch of fluid that comes out when you orgasm?
Well, yeah, it's like, it's white, kind of creamy, like, yeah.
But a whole bunch of it comes out.
Well, enough. I mean, it's on like the my vibrator.
But it doesn't come flying out.
No.
Okay. All right, that's normal discharge. Like we said, it could be just something the kind of normal discharge that goes throughout the cycle. But in her case, though, it was something that it came on abruptly all of a sudden and she never had it before. And that's why we said maybe it's an infection.
What do you do with the vibrator? Do you give the wipe under the underarm before you put it back in royal sack?
Yeah. I'm pretty sanitary.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Now, the vibrator, you put it up in you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good times. Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Well, you don't just sort of work the button there, huh?
Well, of course, but, you know, double action, whatever.
Mm-hmm. 16.
Yep. I called them before.
You're moving right along, baby.
What did we talk about last time?
My jerk father.
Oh, yeah. That's payback time.
Yeah. And I have another question.
Yeah.
Or is that jerk father yours?
I'm sleeping.
All right.
Yeah, but I have another question.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this about my dad, actually, kind of. Mm-hmm. He tends to be, you know, pretty abusive, and, I mean, it hasn't happened recently, but, like, the concept of, like, violent sex, you know, just is really arousing to me, and I just thought, like, why? Because, I mean, wouldn't it be the total opposite if my dad is basically, you know...
No.
Well,
it's basically there's a lot of ways to think about this, but the trauma at the hands of your parents becomes reenacted in your sexual relationships routinely.
Was your dad physically abusive to you?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how you end up in S&M, having a parent just kind of physically abuse you.
Oh, so I guess. It's normal, I guess, by
saying. You're right. It's a usual outcome.
Normal reaction.
It wires your brain, literally, into needing that kind of thing. No one really knows what is going on exactly. One of my suspicions is that it's so overwhelmingly arousing that it sort of sets in those needs for that level of arousal in order to be sexually aroused. Mm-hmm. I don't mean that the arousal of the beating is sexually arousing, but it sort of maybe burns out other areas of your brain that have to be sort of adjusted in order to tolerate the intensity of the experience.
Right. All right. Richard?
Hi.
You're 22?
Yep.
What's up?
Well, my girlfriend ain't putting on as much
Mm-hmm. How little is she putting out?
Twice a month.
Twice a month.
Yeah. And we used to, when we first started dating, we used to have sex 3 times a week.
Yeah. And how long have you been together?
1.5 years.
Mm-hmm. Have you spoken to her about this?
Yeah. And I found out that she was molested when she was younger.
Mm-hmm.
And that sex actually hurts her.
Oh, boy.
She feels no pleasure out of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, you can understand why she'd back it down once a month.
Yeah. You got a tough row to hoe there, Richard. So what's your plan?
Well, I was hoping you could tell me what I could do to get more sex, or...
Well, roofies, chloroform. What else, Drew?
That's about it.
Hey,
fact that she's doing it twice a month is pretty good for somebody that's been abused.
Yeah.
And that it hurts.
Can you get some oral sex from her?
Well, she doesn't really like doing oral sex unless she gets some sex out of it. I mean, she feels good for, like, the first 10 minutes. Yeah. But then after that, like, she says her vagina starts getting tighter and tighter.
He's not talking about you doing it to her.
Pardon me?
I'm talking about her giving it to you.
Yeah. Well, she gives me oral sex, and then she wants sex after that.
All right. Well, that doesn't sound like someone is completely closed down. Yeah, can she give you oral sex in between the 2-week intervals that you have intercourse?
No. She goes all out, or she doesn't do it at all.
All right. Boy.
Turn over all the cards.
Yeah, really all you can do is sort of...
kind of work on it.
Sort of slowly get her to trust you and...
Don't pound on her about this. Don't kind of be on her. She'll shut down even further if you really sort of are constantly badgering her about this.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll go from bad to worse if you push. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's rich.
Try to get her to see your point of view, to realize that you have these needs and it's kind of uncomfortable, and maybe she can kind of be mutual in the relationship. And like we were telling that gay couple earlier, what was that guy's name?
Bruce. All gay guys are named Bruce, right?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. It's tough. If there's sexual abuse and person's sort of numb from the waist down, I just don't know what you can do about it. Mm. Cynthia?
Hi.
You're 17. What's up?
Hi. I'm just wondering what your guys' opinion is on sex education versus abstinence education. I saw a thing on Don Donahue program tonight, and it made me really angry because they were all talking about how the abstinence education was so good. And I just wanted to call in and tell them that, you know, getting information out to kids is just so important. And I just feel like your guys' what you guys thought of that.
You're in Washington, D.C., right?
Washington State.
In Washington, D.C., there's a group called Advocates for Youth, and they lobby on this issue very commonly, and you can call them if you want to get involved with it. Their concern is not that abstinence is an inappropriate message or that abstinence education is a bad idea.
Yeah.
Problem with abstinence education, the way it's funded, is you're not allowed to answer any questions pertinent to anything else about sexuality other than the only viable alternative for sex is sex in marriage.
If a
child comes up to you and goes, you know, how do I get HIV? I'm contemplating having sex with an IV drug user. You can't answer it.
And it's supported by the government.
Right. It's a censorship program, and that's the problem with it. To put abstinence as the goal and to build it up as a primary message in the training is excellent, but to censor everything else is,
yeah,
it's sacrificing
like
people.
They're trying to, you know, push, you know, say that, you know, this is the only right way to be in your life, and these are our morals. And
that's fine if they also allow you to ask questions and educate you about the alternatives and help you negotiate reality.
Here's the problem: it's not a realistic approach to this problem. Here's what it is. It's sort of like, we get into this with the junk food stuff, you know. We have to outlaw McDonald's. We have to outlaw soda. There can be no soda on campus and this kind of thing. Kids aren't going to respond very well to outlawing stuff that they crave.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Drew, over here, buddy.
I'm listening.
Drew's reading something, you know. I'm talking now.
I can read and listen,
No, you can't. Over here.
Go ahead.
Hey, eyes. Right here. Right here. So outlawing stuff that kids sort of biologically crave is never going to be a great plan. But what you should do, and I think you should do the same with, because there is this recent controversy about the diets and the kids are all obese and all this kind of stuff, is as you should say, look, this is a part of life. This is around. This is an everyday thing. But you know what? You can eat a burger, then you gotta run a few laps.
And here's what happens.
And here's what happens. Here's the negative things that can happen. Eating one burger going to kill you? No.
And if you happen to be hungry and sitting outside of McDonald's, we're going to suggest some behaviors that might help you resist making bad choices.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah. And here's the consequences, and then here's what you're going to need to do.
Yeah.
And, Drew, did you blow gas? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Speaking of things we need to help, oh, my God.
Oh, payback for last night.
No. Oh, my God. What about your Hippocratic Oath, Drew?
Just finish up with it. Hey, we're adults here. Adam, relax. Stop being so immature. Come on, let's finish up with Cynthia here.
Oh! Wow! Ew, it's sweet!
I just wanted to bring up that point to you guys and kind of throw it out there for other people.
Yeah, open that door, Drew. Oh, my God. Well, listen. The abstinent people are full of crap, as usual. They're just for people that didn't get laid, and they don't want other people getting laid. It's more of that religious stuff. That's fine. On the other hand, I don't need the school monopolizing the kids' time, putting the condom on the cucumber, either.
Mm-hmm.
It's a couple of basics they need to learn, and that's it. There's need to be lesbian and gay groups. They don't have to do a whole bunch of sensitivity training. It's like, listen, put the condom on. Here's what birth control can do. Here's the morning after pill. Chick, Drew. Is there more? Is that more? Oh, my God. Couple of handful of that crap, and then get back to the basics.
Mm.
Like I said, you went to the Little Lord Fauntleroy School for albino hemophiliacs, but I went to a public school. They didn't teach you how to fill out a goddamn envelope.
Right.
Like, half the people I graduated high school with, they couldn't fill out a check. Like, just on a checking book, you know?
Yeah.
You didn't know how to apply for a credit card or go down to the when you turned 18 and register for the draft. Or it's just serious, basic, fundamental how to put air in your car tires. There's not a female I know knows how to put air in her car tires. You know what I mean? They go through their entire life. Like, sir, could you help me with this guy? You know, we really no class for this? I know it sounds almost... juvenile or something, this is not education. Yeah, it is for about 90% of the people on this planet. And you know how to fill out a checkbook and put air in their tires. I'd rather them focus on that and a little less on the lesbian groups, but this abstinence stuff is crap. It's never going to work. Not a bad plan. I mean, hey, I'm with you. Tell teenagers to stop screwing. That's great. Hey, tell them to stop drinking soda.
Yeah.
Tell them to stop eating McNuggets.
No pot, no beer.
No pot, no beer. Mm-hmm. All right, settled. What about juvenile crime?
No crime. No ecstasy. No crime.
No crime.
No
crime.
No driving fast.
No speeding.
No accidents.
No speeding. All right, well, we're done. We're now living in a utopia.
Can't talk about anything else, though.
We'll be back. He's rocking. Drop trout. Let's check the time real fast. The time, 11:47. That's 12 minutes and 55 seconds away from the bewitching hour at the top of the hour. 12 minutes. Let's check the temps real fast around the south side. Bellflower checking in 55. Cerritos, 54. Pasadena, chilly, 49. Compton checking in 51 degrees. Arlington, 49. Southgate, Van Nuys, your rainbow checking in 49 degrees.
No, kill me, Anderson.
Kill me. 50,000 watt flame. All right, let's check the freeways real fast. Slow and go on the 405.
look out for the lines of brake line. Check the time real fast. 11:47. 12 minutes and 5 seconds away from the top of the hour. I'm H. Rock Home, a good part over there, Dr. Drew. David, you're on the line. What's happening?
Hey, how's it going?
Blah, 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 blah.
I got a question.
About
6 months ago, when I was with my girlfriend, it was like a little bit after we broke up.
Hold on a second there, caller. Bellflower checking in at 49 degrees. Cerritos 51, Pasadena coming in at 51. Compton 47, I'm late at 45. Southgate, Bellflower, Sherman Oaks, Chatsworth, blah, blah.
You're with your girlfriend.
Yeah, and we broke up, and like a little while after, she told me that she was pregnant.
What? Oh, got a bun in the oven? Well, you must have dropped dry at least once. Arlita 55.
All right.
Okay.
I got really spooked, and I was like, she wasn't going to tell me because like we kind of got in an argument. I mean, we were friends after. And
what did she do?
Call her. Wait a minute, call her.
Did she have the baby?
No. We went to some place to check on it, and she wasn't pregnant. And it was
check time real fast. 11:49 and 25 seconds. 10 minutes and 35 seconds away from the top of the hour. Straight up. This is the fastest 11 and a half minutes of radio. Bellflower checking in 49. Cerritos coming in at 53. Pasadena checking in 51. Compton at chilly 41. Arlita's coming in at some Southgate. Paul is one of the Van Nuys.
Was she lying to you? Is she not pregnant?
No, I mean, she took the test and, like, you know, one of those
home tests.
Written or oral. Cerritos 45.
And what?
They said that it was probably the stress that probably, you know, got rid of her.
But after that,
I got really spooked about. I have safe sex and. Kind of birth control or anything for guys.
There will be one of these days, but not right now.
I'll tell you what I do.
Just the condom.
I'll drop and trowel. I'm going to pull out. Bellflower checking at 49. Cerritos coming in at 51. 4 or 5. Drew slow and lanes. Look out. Look out for brake lights. There's and a four level interchange. 101. Stop and go. Zipper scooter collides with nuclear armament truck. Robert, you're 21 years old.
Yes, I have a question for Dr. Ruth. I started going out with a girl recently, 3 months. She told me that she has epilepsy. She says that she has like a mild case. She started having epilepsy the first attack at 13. I was just wondering, Dr. Drew, if you could tell me what the epilepsy is. I know you have attacks, but, I mean, what are the long-term effects?
Not necessarily any long-term effects. She's on medication that will control it probably her whole life. It's a seizure disorder. It's a small area of irritation in the brain that causes a rhythmic, it's sort of an...
It causes a diffuse
electrical discharge throughout the brain, and then when your brain is discharging that way electrically, you become unconscious.
Let's check the time real fast. Well, I'll tell you one thing about this problem. She makes a hell of a martini. Bellflower, 49 degrees. That's 7 minutes and 45 seconds away from the top of the hour. Southgate coming in 49. Leader coming in 41. Captain 43. Pasadena checking in 55. Let's have back and forth. Caller. 16.
Dizzle for chisel, dizzle.
Becky.
Yes?
Hey.
Hello?
Becky. What's going on?
Hello?
Hello.
What's that?
Hey, Meg. Let me say hello. Well, there's all of you. You know, really. D cup. I'm so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Problem. My parents. Are you listening?
I'm listening.
Okay. My parents and I, we have like a really good relationship and everything.
A really good relationship.
Come here and give me a hug.
Yeah, a little too much information, Angel.
But the problem is that like they tell me I'm a really good student and I've really like not done anything bad, but they tell me that they trust me like 110%, but they don't let me do anything, and it's getting really frustrating.
Well, first of all, 100%. 110%. Mathematical possibility. So let me tell you a little story about his dad, mom, high school, carpet cleaning, football, North Hollywood, the Bears, one bedroom apartment, three buddies, no dental insurance, no credit card, no medical, but look at me now.
All right, kiddies. Well, there's the show, and that's the week.
Wow, you're talking strangely now.
What are you talking about? I want to thank Brian for doing a great job on the phones all week. I want to thank Tara, don't call me Tara, goddammit, for doing a wonderful job on the phones, the coffee, the water, and all that stuff. Junior producer Lauren for... mainly just obsessing on Tori Amos and not being too involved with the show.
And screwing everything up in here all the time.
Still nice to have. And of course, if Liberace was bi instead of gay and work potentiometers instead of the ivories.
Yes.
Yeah. It would be Engineer Anderson. That's who he would be. So I want to thank Engineer Anderson and, of course, producer Ann. Until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying... Mahalo.
Robert, you're 21 years old.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.